Okay, so
yeah,
thank you everyone for listening to Thank You For Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, the podcast in which we watch an episode of the Golden Girls and then we break it down scene by scene. I'm Anthony DeSamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have two very special, awesome guests. I love them. Awesome. The awesome Julia McCullough.
Hello.
Hello.
And the also awesome Meg Malloy.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome guys to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yay.
That was the most fun I've had watching TV in a long time.
That's amazing.
Awesome.
That's
yeah,
so good.
That's great.
I saw you loving. I saw both
you were,
of
yeah.
you.
I was dying.
Like, this is the best
this is
thing
great
ever.
And it was like what we just watched was season 6.
Yeah.
And to be that deep into the series and the writing is still that great is
right
like incredible.
Incredible.
The jokes are so good. All right, but
oh, I love it.
Times
yeah
have changed.
Times yeah have changed. So actually, we start by asking our guests, "What is your Golden Girls background?" So this is kind of perfect for that. So. Who would like to start? Who's so eager to tell us what their Golden Girls history is? Meg, do you want to start?
I always watched okay it with my grandma, and aww Blanche was always a personal hero for me. Still is.
Yes, we just spoke
a
about this.
A major wardrobe inspiration. Just
totally
love her general attitude.
Mm-hmm. She is the best. She's like my spirit animal.
Like, when I would play dress-up with my grandma, I would say, I'm Blanche,
no
and you're Dorothy.
Oh, that's so cute. Oh, that's great. And
if I were your grandma, I'd be like, what do you mean I'm Dorothy?
Yeah.
Dorothy was my
your
second
like,
favorite,
you
and I
will
love
be
my
a
grandma.
Dorothy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd say Dorothy is my favorite. So.
Yeah.
Dorothy's
yeah
great.
I know,
yeah. It's
like
not the Golden Girls without Dorothy.
No.
At all. You need to have her.
Yeah, and I like wearing a nice tunic, so what can you do?
What can you do? I like wearing a nice brooch.
My Golden Girls background is similar to like a lot of the 80s sitcoms, mm-hmm, you know, in terms of like, I watched TV all the time, so I always watched it, and I always loved it, and I remember being a kid, like a little boy, and being like, I love this show. It's so weird that I love a show about four yeah women, but that's how great that show is. That it's like,
yeah,
literally everyone can enjoy it.
Yeah.
Even a 9-year-old boy, you know? And
I loved it.
It's not like, it always had a nice place in my heart and everything, but mm-hmm I never thought to like truly revisit it and watch mm-hmm it like seriously as a comedian.
Yeah.
And it's just so perfect. I mean,
it's pretty brilliant.
The writing.
There wasn't
just
a single
amazing
joke that made me go, oh, come on. Like,
right,
they didn't. It's the jokes you don't write,
yeah,
you know? So there was never a line where I was like, oh, I didn't roll my eyes
come
once.
On.
It was
yeah
great. And it's so. It's
their
been
banter
so long. It's just incredible. And, but it made me wish that I had. Like, it makes me want to know everything about it. Like, I want to know all the trivia. Like, I want to know how they got cast. I want to know. You know what I mean? I want to know everything.
It's we have so much Golden Girls knowledge that I can't keep it
that's
in my
great,
brain.
That's great because I have so many questions.
Like when I have new knowledge come in, like some like has to leave my brain because I can't keep it all
so
in.
So much to contain.
There's so much to contain. I can't. I'm like, huh? Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. That's it. Yeah.
How many times do you think you guys have watched the show? Like, you know, repeatedly.
Repeatedly.
Yeah.
Well, I watched it when I was a kid, like first run, mm-hmm, at least the last couple seasons, and then I watched reruns when I was a kid as mm-hmm well, and then just kind of casually through the years, and of course through this podcast. So I'd estimate like probably minimum like 3 or 4 times
each episode.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I spent so much time in front of a television, and I'm sure I watched all the episodes growing up. Just. I was obsessed in junior high and high school with Golden Girls. College?
Can you imagine knowing him in junior high? Being like,
I would have been obsessed with you.
Yeah. If you were like, you're so cute, what are you into? And he's like, Golden Girls.
Golden Girls. That's what I like.
Best friend.
I was a weird theater kid
like,
in high school.
Like,
I was a weird
Golden
art
Girls
kid.
Oh my god.
You're like, Golden Girls or Frasier?
Golden Girls. Oh, I love
she
Frasier.
She doesn't watch Frasier. And I
you don't watch
Frasier?
I know, I'm so
it's
lame.
Okay.
No, it's...
I watched Frasier on my bunk bed, like, when I was like 10. And I was like, oh my god, everyone's rich in Seattle.
Yeah.
What's like...
Did you know there's different kinds of wine?
I just love Niles and Daphne. And yeah. I was just like, I just thought that was so great. That, how fucked
the
up
only problem
was.
With Frasier is it would rely very often on like cheap, like mistaken identity stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I can't see Golden Girls doing that, although maybe they did, but you know, it just. Anyway, but we should talk about this episode,
okay.
right?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So we watch an amazing episode, season 6, episode 3, and it's titled If At Last You Do Succeed. Yeah. It's a weird happy ending in this.
Yeah.
And the original air date is October 6, 1990.
Oh, that was 1990?
Yeah. Yeah. So we got out of the 80s finally. We spent 5 years there. It was great. And so now their colors are more muted. Like, believe it or
for
not.
Real?
I know. Yeah. This is like toned down.
Toned
in
down.
Really?
Version.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm like buying literally the whole DVD box. Yeah. Well, I'm going to order it on iTunes. I'm not going to.
There is a DVD box that comes in a Sophia bag. If you do get it,
no.
get oh that. God. It's so yeah, great.
Is it still available?
Yeah, it's online. I'm sure.
Well,
you're like, I'm doing it now.
I was reaching for my phone on Amazon Prime.
That's amazing.
And as we do with every episode, Genevieve is going to do the synopsis for the listener who did not watch it. Okay.
All right.
Go ahead, Genevieve.
Well, for starters, it's a Stanisode.
Stanisode.
Very exciting.
Zbornak.
Yes. Dorothy's ex-husband, Stan, returns, and he has actually struck it rich with a new product that helps you open baked potatoes. A common problem we've all found. He wants Dorothy to be by his side. And Dorothy has mixed feelings about that. And also, Rose decides that she's going to sell her stuff at a yard sale. And Blanche doesn't want that. So Rose decides to sell all of her stuff to Blanche. And turns out there's Say Olaf war bonds. In there,
$50,000
worth $50,000. Yeah,
insane.
So, yeah, yep,
that can bankrupt a town.
I have a question first of all. How many Stanisodes are there? Like, how often is it a Stan centric episode?
One out of every maybe 8.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he comes up a lot.
There's like 3 in each season, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They kept referring, as somebody who doesn't remember all of the episodes, they kept referring to what a horrible guy he was to Dorothy.
Yeah.
So what did he do?
So they were married for 36 years. She caught him cheating.
You talk about this like they're in your family. You're like, well, they were married for 36 years. And
This is a biography that I wrote.
Did Dorothy wrong?
Yeah.
He cheated on Dorothy for many years, and she had no idea. Although,
like, multiple women or one woman?
I think multiple women.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, basically the series starts when he's left her, like, for another woman. Like, it starts shortly after that.
And that's why she moves in.
She's moved in with the Golden Girls.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so weird. This is obnoxious to say out loud, but who cares? I just pitched a show, and it's getting bought by YouTube.
Nice.
And the premise is I'm moving into a community like the Golden Girls.
Oh, no way.
But for, like, divorced dads. And then
Are you...
So now I have to watch the pilot of
the
Golden Girls.
Boys?
Golden
Boys!
Are you
doing that?
Golden
Dads.
Golden Dads. Diamond Dads.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, my God. It has to be Diamond Dads. I love it.
Diamond Dads. Oh, man. That sounds
okay,
great.
Okay, so he was just a low-down, dirty dog.
Always a scumbag.
And he basically works in this industry where he, like, would sell novelty items. Like,
I vaguely remember that. Yeah, like chatter teeth
fake
and stuff
vomit,
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fake poop, and then fencing one episode.
Yeah, he sold fencing and he sold toilet seat covers.
Toilet seat covers. He's just kind of like a slimy salesman guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And obviously we heard that Dorothy got into trouble with him as a teenager, and that's how they...
Yeah, they were high school.
Wait, where's her daughter?
They all live. I think her one daughter lives in New York.
Yeah.
You literally said that you're talking about real people.
No,
it's so funny.
She has another son. He's a saxophone player.
Yeah, and he travels around. He tours around.
He's kind of a never do well.
He was like a. Yeah. He turned out to be like his father, kind of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. He's a Sorry, bum. So that caught me up.
No, you're caught up. Yeah. And then Sophia's her mom, and she moved in because her retirement home burnt down.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that. Mm-hmm. And that's they just all live together.
That's such a dramatic reason.
Yeah.
An entire retirement home burns down.
I know.
It's a little dark.
It is dark.
It is dark.
Let's get back to brighter colors in the 80s.
I know.
Yeah. Because I was watching this, and you're saying it's been toned down because it's 1990. And I was watching this going, I always knew that they had the best wardrobe of any show.
The best.
But then watching it again was like, oh my God, these are amazing.
Designs. Yeah. The designs are.
And were you
they recorded Dorothy's probably in 89. Dorothy's
her silk robe collection.
Oh my God.
Silk robe?
Well, I commented
silk
on
silk robes. Like her silk robes. Yeah. Like her floral robes. At first I thought you said
Dorothy's silk robes. And I was like, what?
Blanche's silk robes. Dorothy always had like the more buttoned up kind of nighty situation.
Yeah, she was. They all have their own different tastes. I love that. And so
Dorothy's fashion in this episode was, I think, particularly
out of control.
Out of control.
Yeah.
Her opening outfit was that green. Green on green, wasn't it? That green on green brooch vest situation?
Kind of
was
matching.
It was like a tunic.
It was a tunic, and then that giant brooch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shoulder pads.
And the earrings.
Yes. Crazy.
The shoulder pads were
aggressive. She looked like a giant elf.
Like the lengths of everything. So, like, it's like, yes, it's a sweater vest, but it goes to, like, mid-thigh.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, so crazy. It's
so drapey.
Did you ever look up where they get the clothes?
We have a theory that they make Dorothy's clothes backstage. They just run her through like this giant machine of fabric, and she comes out on the. It's like
a Wonka situation.
Dr. Seuss hands just like drape her, and they just spit her out, and she's down. She's done.
Yeah, so. They're like sparks flying and
like this fucking shears come out.
There's like some guy in like some kind of mask, like a blowtorch.
A cat screech. For a reason.
Like he welded that brooch.
Yeah. He's like, man, he's got like a what's that called? An anvil? He's like banging.
Oh, yeah, like a
brooch on an anvil.
Everyone like who works on her is like union.
that's definitely
so many
true, by the way.
Jobs got lost when Golden Girls got killed. Yeah, ended. I wonder if they want to say.
The silk industry lost a lot.
Poor silk industry.
So the opening scene is
the one. It's Sophia is making soup.
She's making some soup.
Soup. And she's just boiling
it. She's got like a crock pot situation.
She's having like, people taste it.
She's like boiling water with like spinning it. Like she's like, and then she feeds it to Dorothy and burns her lips. Like, taste this. Okay, it's boiling hot. I can't see anymore, she says. Like, I need a prank that I can hear.
Is that what she
out
said?
Of control. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm losing my vision. I need a prank that I can hear.
Yeah.
By the way, her definition of prank is kind of sadistic.
Yeah.
Well, I love how dark the show gets.
It's just abuse. It's a, here you go.
So then, that's when the yard sale thing gets established, right? Rose wants to have a yard sale.
Rose is decorating.
Blanche thinks that's white trash.
Did she say white trash?
No, she's worried about all the riffraff that it's going to bring around.
That's what I'm saying. So she's saying it's like, you know, a shady
Simpsons shirt.
Yeah.
Which was like, what a dick.
This Cowabunga fucking
This is
Bart
the first
Simpson.
Year of Simpsons. It was a major concern, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was back when the Simpsons were considered like
really
literally
racy.
White trash. Like, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Was it? Well, they've been on for 3 years at this point.
It was just getting good, actually, when they made that joke. Mm-hmm. I will say this as a professional, like in a industry where if you make a public statement about somebody else, like a rival show or like a rival comedian or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you better know your status before you say something publicly about somebody else.
Yeah.
And I love that the Golden Girls called out the Simpsons.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, how many shows
Blanche.
Are...
It had to be Blanche.
How many shows Blanche. Are good enough that they could shit on the Simpsons? Like, publicly.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
Blanche
that's
is
awesome.
Bougie as hell. She's not trying to have some Simpsons riffraff. Come on.
They didn't say the Simpsons were terrible. They just said that they're people who wear their shirts.
She was throwing shade.
Definitely shade.
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't throwing it at Herman's Head or Parker Lewis Can't Lose or any of those.
No, she was not. So that's when Stan is at the door. Hi, it's me, Stan.
I know it. Yeah.
I love it. I have a sticker that says, "Hi, it's me, Stan."
You do?
I do.
Yeah.
Did you make it or they make them?
Cristela Alonso gave it to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like a parting gift. She was on the show and she just had all these Golden Girl things to give me. Not to brand. And so he comes in and he's legit striked it rich. He's bragging. He's like, "My commercial's about to be on right now. Like, you guys have to watch it."
And what was it, 328?
It's 628.
He goes, "Is it 628? Turn on the TV."
Yeah, this is one commercial.
Well, it's like, it's kind of prime time. This is like Wheel of Fortune time.
Yeah,
so,
definitely Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune block.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely like your baked potato prime baked market. Potato
exactly. Everybody's got their TV trays
about
out.
About to open a potato or are opening one up right now as we speak. And so he created the Zborny, which is a potato, baked potato opener, which...
It's also the big reveal that the Zborny is what Stan called his penis the whole time. They were married because they go, "What's a Zborny?" And then Dorothy says, "It's something I put up with for 38 years. 36 years? I'm not sure.
36 years. 38. It just... They never are consistent with anything.
They weren't anticipating podcasts.
Yeah, they weren't considering people like...
Golden Girls fact checkers.
They didn't know there was going to be a Golden Girls wiki one day.
But he goes, so she says, so it's clear that he calls his penis a Zborny. And then he says, "It's not that, but I just use the same name."
It's a great name. It really is.
You don't forget it. Well, it won't leave your mind.
Both Zbornies are potato openers. Yeah, that's for sure.
They're both. Oh no! Hot potato.
Hot potato.
I bet Dorothy's is filled with cheese and sour cream as well.
Because it's so delicious.
There's definitely chives in there.
Chives. Oh no. Oh my goodness, I love it.
So then the infomercial is for... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, he dresses a potato. No, I love it
whenever at the end of the infomercial, he like mouths the line and he's like, "Because now a day without a baked potato is totally unnecessary."
It's the worst slogan ever. It's the worst slogan. That's the brilliance of those writers is that they're like, let's make it not terrible. Obviously terrible, because it's not like a... They could have done like a sex joke or like, you know, something like... kind of be over the top bad, but instead it was just a boring, stupid slogan. That,
the
like,
worst slogan ever.
A day without a potato is unnecessary. It doesn't roll off the tongue. It's not catchy.
Oh my god! Great. There was like a little tune. "A day without a potato is unnecessary." Or something like that.
Yeah, there's like a little ball that like jingle. Goes on all
a potato.
The
potato.
A potato ball.
Yeah, like potato.
Oh, a red potato. That's a
tater
ball.
Tot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
A tater tot.
A tater tot can bounce over the slogan.
Yeah.
I can't. I bet you a Zborny is just like a knife. Like, that's all I can
think
of.
Well, by the way, they never show the Zborny.
I spent the whole time trying to picture what a Zborny would look like.
Real talk, would you guys
like a thing?
Buy this product? Like, I kind of pictured like almost like a big, like a kind of a knife, but like a kind of a wide
with
knife.
Like a guard on it?
Yeah.
That's
like a guard.
Of what I was picturing.
Yeah, you just stick it in and then it splits.
I also imagine like one of those Star Wars like little ships, the circular ones
TIE fighter. I don't even like Star Wars, but I know that.
And like it just it's kind of like a clamp, and then like you just turn it or something, and it opens it up and squeezes a potato somehow.
That's very.
Like, I imagine that is, something like that.
Maybe I think more
you're
sophisticated.
Stan a lot of credit.
Yeah.
I feel like you should sell it. I don't know what you would call it, but that sounds like the next level Zborny.
I invented the Zborny.
But it's interesting that they never bother even trying to show one.
They did it. Well, they don't have the budget for it.
They've only been on the air for 6 years.
On accessories and shoulder pads.
Yeah, they spent it on the machine that creates Dorothy's outfits.
They don't have time to solve everyone's potato problems, guys. Yeah. Like, Golden Girls can't be everything to everybody.
My favorite part about the economy of that show, the way that every mm-hmm. line is either a joke
or a setup,
but even the setups are fun. Like, there's no wasted words, like kind of like a 30 Rock or Arrested Development.
Definitely. Where, yeah.
But the jokes they pack into watching that infomercial is incredible. You know, yeah. Like the bad slogan, all that stuff. But then Rose responding to it and buying it.
Immediately cuts to her. She's like, I want to order a sporty.
Yeah. No, the best part is she goes, the sporty is the first, is a groundbreaking tool that allows you to open a hot potato without burning your fingers. And Rose goes, it can't be done. And then Stan goes, it can be done in the commercial. When they come back to her, she's already ordering this morning.
So good. Rose is so necessary.
She is necessary.
Like a potato.
I forgot how much St. Olaf was a thing.
Such a dumb town, yeah.
But I mean, it's like, I remember like every episode was like a St. Olaf story.
Everything was St. Olaf.
Do they ever even try to say where St. Olaf is in any way?
Yeah, St. Olaf isn't good.
It's in Minnesota.
Oh, it's in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why it's all...
So it's that satire.
Scandinavian or German names.
Like Minnesota and St. Paul are sister cities, so they kind of like satire that and they make St. Gustav and St. Olaf sister cities. St. Gustav is their like
it's the Shelbyville.
Yeah.
The Shelbyville.
Yeah.
Bringing it back. Okay, and then the whole issue with Stan is that he wants Dorothy to go to this Japanese dinner expo thing.
It's Japanese businessmen that want to invest in this morning.
Right.
And so he's going to woo these businessmen.
With his lady.
But he knows that they're very traditional. And so he needs a wife or a date to be there to like...
But or they'll think he's all, gay. I went through my Rolodex... And I'm down to the letter Z.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
Which leaves my mother and you.
His last name. Like, go fuck yourself.
Well, I know. Exactly.
He's also, they don't mention this in the episode, but he's also married at the time. He has a wife. Yeah. What?
When did he?
He got married
once
like.
Once a player, always a player.
Last season or the season before?
Why wasn't his wife able to go?
He got married to, what the fuck? What's her name?
Oh, God. I couldn't tell you for $1 million, but.
And then. Was she the young woman?
Wait, does he mention why he can't bring his wife to this thing?
No, he doesn't in this episode.
He
but
it's not he needs consistent. Someone sophisticated, but that's not too obviously sexy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Merv Griffin. Aww. She says, why don't you ask Merv Griffin? So many burns. Like, everybody is just firing at everybody.
Zinger, zingers.
And so she says... No, I'm not gonna fucking do this. Go fuck yourself, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next scene is the war bond scene where, so it turns out that I totally didn't catch that Blanche bought all of her stuff. I thought she just bought
she
her
said
war
for
bonds.
No.
She wanted to
I'll
buy
everything
to avoid the yard sale, and then she was just gonna dump it in a dumpster. She was buying it
up.
To throw it away.
Yeah,
that's just so fucked. I love
she's
it.
Awesome.
She is a bad bitch. The original bad bitch.
The original like fucking Regina George.
Yeah,
Mean Girls yesterday. Yeah, and so they got these war bonds, St. Olaf war bonds, and they were creating. So Rose explains what they are. They were creating
a war weapon.
They attacked. St. Olaf's first attempt to help the war effort.
Yeah,
was attack cows.
Oh my god!
And, which they led to my favorite line in the entire episode, which is nobody expects trouble from a cow.
Nobody expects trouble from a cow, and you're like, this is what it should be called.
Yeah, this episode should be called Nobody Expects Trouble from a Cow. But,
so and honestly, she's right.
Yeah, you're right. Did she train them to like tip on over on people or like crush them or I don't know.
Who knows?
Drown them with milk. Like, I don't know. Like, I can't fathom what
I
they're going
to
do.
I don't even want to live in a world where cows attack. You know what I mean? They're such so gentle
scary.
Creatures.
Yeah.
Shoot bullets out their udders.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, poisonous cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just give everybody
nightmare.
Indigestion.
Yeah. They utter slap people to death. That'd be sad. I don't want to
be utter slapped.
No, utter slapped. No.
I would like to, as the straight male in the room, say that I would love to be utter slapped.
Utter slapped.
All right. Utterly. Well, that's your but truth.
In fact, I can no longer come without being utter slapped.
It's like, cool. I can't imagine what it looked like. But that. And so they had to stop because they realized while the cows were airborne that they couldn't pull the cord.
No,
the
which means they threw a bunch of cows out of the plane fucking, and they died.
Into what, Germany or whatever?
Yeah.
Or to fucking, oh no.
Well, what cracks me up is that St. Olaf got this program approved enough to get it tried by the government,
yeah,
and then it failed when they realized that they couldn't pull rip cords.
Yes, dead cow jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so so then
they had war bonds instead of the attack cows.
Right, yeah. And then Blanche finds out, I think she made a phone call or something, she finds out that they're worth $1,000 each, and there were 49 or 50 of them.
There are 50
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, she said, I got 49 more.
Fuck.
Yeah, I know,
she's
right?
Like, and then that's where she fucking says that line.
My favorite.
The forever line. Go ahead.
Well, no, so, well, we gotta set it up.
Okay.
So, Rose says, What's Rose's ex-husband or dead husband?
Charlie.
Charlie.
She's yeah. like, Charlie would want me to have those.
And then she says,
Blanche
well,
says,
George would want me
to keep them. Yes. And she says, I'll match you dead husband for dead husband.
Damn.
I was like, done.
That is so good. You're just a virgin that can't drive fucking line.
Exactly. Like, it's
exactly that.
That's the kind of line where if you're in a writer's room and somebody pitches that line, the whole room goes like, oh shit.
Day.
Like, are we going to get away with this? Like, the network's going to say we can't say it.
We just go flashback into the writer's room and they're like, all right, well, that'll be the line.
But you know what's so great about that joke is not just that it's a great line, it's like one of the best lines I've ever seen in a sitcom.
Right.
But that being able to say, I'll match you dead husband for dead husband to somebody really shows the friendship that these two women have. That's what keeps building.
Yeah.
Because the reason the show works is how much they love each other.
Right.
Right? And so you could never say that to anyone other than someone that you've been best friends with for so long.
Because it's brutal.
It is. And it reinforces that bond, even though it sounds evil. It's like, yeah, but that's the kind of evil shit you can only say when you've been friends for that long.
Right. These jokes create a connection.
Yeah, it's like
a glue. It moves the story forward.
It's amazing.
There was like a letter that Stan wrote to Dorothy and giving her instructions on how to act at the Japanese dinner, order more potatoes.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And then
number one, order more potatoes.
And then there was call me, I forgot what the rest was.
No, number two was act outraged when somebody. Oh, act outraged that Joe Isuzu was not played by an Asian actor.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you remember Joe Isuzu? Who was the Subaru spokesman? He was like in the 80s, the Subaru had a campaign, an ad campaign.
Like
with Joe Isuzu, played by, I can't remember his name, but he's basically a
David Leisure. He was on Empty Nest. Which is a spinoff of Golden Girls.
Yes.
Yeah.
So connected.
He played the neighbor.
But so Joe Isuzu was the sleazy car dealer guy that you would always encounter at a car dealership. And so he played that character selling a Subaru on TV, which... And so,
like,
but
it should have
been
Jap,
an Asian guy.
A Japanese person. I said Jap first. I'm sorry.
I was like, don't
say
it.
I was just hesitating in my words. I wasn't being racist. Okay.
I'm sorry. By the way, my she passed away, but my grandmother's sister, Aunt Claire, we used to call her, her husband fought in World War II, and she never lets anyone forget it. And my grandparents are very sophisticated people, and they would always have like jazz musicians over for dinner.
Oh, cool.
And like, you know, like, so one of their best friends is a woman named Sub, and she's a Thai woman who owns a Thai restaurant.
Oh.
And Aunt Claire could never get it through her head that she wasn't Thai. and that she didn't just work at the restaurant. Like she just thought she was a Chinese or Japanese woman that worked at the restaurant. And so I'll never forget that when Aunt Claire met Sub, Sub goes, "I'm Sub, nice to meet you." And Aunt Claire goes, "My Tommy fought the Japs in the war." Oh! And Sub was like, yeah, we're different countries.
Yeah, but that's something to bring up when you meet somebody. Yeah.
That was her way of relating. Like, oh yeah, no, I'm used to you people. Oh, yeah. My husband fought you in the war, but they did. He did not.
People do that to me when they're like, "Oh, my my neighbor's son is gay," and I'm like, "Oh." That's...
Why is that not in your act? That's so funny when people try to relate to you because they know a gay person. Yeah.
Dave over there that cuts hair, I'm friends with him. I'm like, "Oh, gay Dave? Oh, I know gay Dave. He's,
And then they try to set, that's the next thing, is they try to set you up just because you're gay.
Yeah. They're like, "You guys all love each other. Yeah. You're but then they
show me a photo of like this like beautiful, gorgeous model, like 6'5", like guy in a Speedo that's obviously like a stripper or something. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't think that he would like me. He's like a 10. But that's
Anthony,
just my issue. I'm sorry.
You little angel, don't say I'm that. Fine. Don't I'm say sorry. That.
Okay. All right. So the next scene, after I just totally self-deprecate on myself, they're doing the secret ballot. And so everyone gets to vote what's going to happen.
They want to decide if Blanche should be able to
keep the war bonds.
Right, because it's going to bankrupt the town. We forgot to mention
that. At this point, Rose already figures that
out,
right?
Because apparently this is a town where $25,000 will save everyone and everything.
It'll ruin everything, even though they have to pay it out. Yeah, I'm skipping it. But so they vote. They have papers in a little basket. There's four people voting. One of them is let the old woman have it.
Yeah.
Which was Sophia.
Which is Sophia.
Yeah. Let Blanche keep it.
And then give him back to Rose. Mm-hmm. And then there was another one. Give him back to Rose.
Which is obviously Dorothy's vote.
Yeah, Dorothy's vote. Yeah. She's the reasonable one.
Yeah. She's the... So the majority was don't financially ruin this town just because you want a diamond ring, basically. I love that Blanche is like, why wouldn't I ruin this town just to get a ring?
Yeah, I know.
She's like, explain to me what the problem is.
Yeah. She loves diamonds.
She does.
Yeah. She's that woman.
So she agrees 1%. After a speech from Dorothy saying like we're family, we're family. And this is really important to Rose.
And that's when Stan's at the door and he bought Sophia a Game Boy.
And well, she walks out with a bunch of cash. Oh. He just gave her a bunch of cash.
Oh, that was the scene before I skipped that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So she gives her a bunch of cash.
Yeah, and then this time he comes back and he gives her a Game Boy.
Which at that time it was $300 for a Game Boy or something like that.
Wasn't it funny how big it looked in Sophia's hands?
Yeah, like, oh, I did.
Because everything, our phones are so small now that it's like so funny to think that a Game Boy was that big.
Game Boys are so huge.
No.
And the screen could only show Tetris. Like, it was like we could watch the entire series of Golden Girls on our phones now.
Yes, we can. On Hulu now.
But if somebody had given me a Game Boy like that in 1990, I would have been...
My sister won a Game Boy, actually. She drew a picture of my dad for a Father's Day contest at Spaghetti Warehouse. She won
second. That's the best thing ever.
This sounds like a Mad Lib story where it's just like, my sister won a Game Boy by drawing a picture of my dad at a Spaghetti Warehouse.
And she beat all those people?
Yeah, she got second place. The first place was a TV.
Oh my god. I would have Totally, Game Boy's way better.
I would have had like some artist do it for me, like some professional person.
My sister is pretty good.
Kelly Rice.
Would you write,
shout out to Kelly. Draw it on the menu? Is that the idea?
I don't remember exactly what format.
You draw it out of spaghetti.
And I did not get to participate, and I was because I was at Girl Scout camp, and I was mad.
Oh no!
But I still got to play with the Game Boy.
Oh, you got to play it though.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. So
it's
fun.
Yay.
I got to play the Game Boy and I didn't have to do anything.
That's great. You had to draw your dad. Sound good. And then Stan buys Dorothy a car. Like mm-hmm. a fucking type of car was it?
I don't think they ever mentioned
it. It was like a convertible. I feel like they said a convertible.
A convertible. Yeah, because that's like what.
That's like
rich
what you...
white men.
Well, in 1990, in where are they? In Florida?
Florida and Miami.
So that probably was. I mean, depending on how baller Stan is, it was either a Porsche 911 or like.
I think not.
A Chrysler Sebring.
I'm going to go ahead and say it.
It was probably a Chrysler Sebring.
Yeah. I think he's a Sebring kind of guy.
I think he's a Sebring kind of dude.
Yeah.
And the license plate said
Pothead.
Because he couldn't fit Potato Head.
He said, no, that's an abbreviation. Couldn't fit the whole thing.
Pothead was so taboo back in the day.
I know, that was so funny. Like, why cares? Like, Pothead was available, by the way.
I know.
Yeah. It was somebody already
in Miami, of all places.
Yeah, that's where they make marijuana.
But I don't know. Miami's such a cocaine town. I feel like marijuana would have been like,
that's
you baby.
True.
They're like, yeah, Pothead's available. Nobody
cocaine
wants Pothead.
Taken.
Yeah. It's not Burlington, Vermont.
Any kind of cocaine abbreviation, taken.
Yeah.
Pothead, it's all yours.
Every spelling of Scarface is completely taken.
And that's when, like, that whole, like, Stan stands up for himself thing happens, and he's just like, like, babe, I try and I try. Even though they've been broken up for 5 years now, he's like,
and apparently he's married.
And like, it's not consistent. Like, he gets with women and breaks up with them. Mm-hmm. The next episode, he's trying to court Dorothy. The next episode, we see him. He's fucking some girl.
Right.
And so,
but now his point is, I used to be a bad guy, and I admit that. Yeah. But now, look at me. I'm trying to do the right thing.
I'm successful. What?
He's like, I struck big. I'm trying to win you back, girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm trying to open your potato, Dorothy.
I want to zborny your zborny. I want to zborny inside you.
Mm-hmm.
He has to, like, go through all these layers to get there. That is so much work.
I know. Yeah. Can you imagine undressing one of them?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's like off this with the tunic, off with the turtle.
Just... And then, by the way, full underwear, like, like full coverage.
Like, granny panties does not cover.
Yeah, there's a slip. I'm sure there's a slip
there's
under there.
There's got to be a slip or two, maybe.
Extra padding places where they just fall.
As my
off.
Grandma called them, the cross my heart bras. The bras that came up really
cross
high.
Cross my heart bras?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I know. Like, the old lady, and hope to you die. Know, the old lady, like, they're lacy and kind of sexy, but mm-hmm. still sensible and comfortable.
Right.
You know what's so funny? I remember being a kid at this time, and I remember the cross my heart, like, ad campaign. And having no idea that they were, like, obviously targeting older ladies. I was like,
older ladies?
I was like, tits.
You were like, that
I was like, cross my heart. I can't wait to cross your heart.
Yeah.
I used to work at Sears in the intimate apparel department.
What?
In the 90s.
Way to bury the lead.
You saw,
we're talking,
you
like,
know,
men
cross
about,
my heart.
Knows about yeah. Women, they sold Playtex bras, and women would come in, like, older women would come in, they've been wearing the same bra for like 30, 40 years, like brand, like not the same bra, but they would just lift up their shirt and they'd say, do you have this bra?
Oh my
and
god,
that happened,
really?
It happened enough that I got really comfortable with it.
You're like,
like,
huh?
Too much.
You were like, I got you, girl.
Yeah,
like, no big deal. Like,
well, that's amazing.
That's really easy and convenient to do, though.
It is the best way to do it.
Do people
it,
still do that, or they show a photo?
I
shop at Sears.
Yeah. At Sears, yeah.
When you're that old, it's like, why try something new, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I just love the comfortability of walking into a random salesperson being like, all right, look at these tits. Make these tits look the same.
I should do that with my underwear. You guys have this. Yeah.
They're like, this is a Best Buy.
I know.
Okay, so then Stan... Oh, so then they're all impressed that Stan stood up for himself. It was the first time they ever saw Stan with a backbone.
It's weird. Dorothy's weirdly turned on
She's
by
kinda
it.
Turned on by
She's
it.
Like sitting in the kitchen. She's like he's did bossy. Did you see like, how much he wanted me?
Do you know what I'm...
He's dangerous with his Barney.
Yeah, like... he bought me a car. Well, you didn't, she didn't say that. But like, it was...
He's a man now.
She's weirdly turned on by it.
My feeling when I saw that scene was it was kind of crazy to me because I was relating to Stan a bit in that scene, you know, and she just completely stonewalled him in the scene. Mm-hmm. Like when he's like, I'm changed, whatever. She's like, get out of my house. Like, I'm not falling for this again. You're always a scumbag, whatever.
Yeah.
And she makes him leave and she says no. And then she goes into the room with her friends, and she's like, I don't know, I kind of liked it. And I'm like, men never get to see that part.
No,
we never know if we're doing it right, because you don't tell us, you just go tell your friends.
Dorothy
you
have to played be it
confident,
cool.
You have to be confident enough that you... that
she was like, I'm in charge here. And then she's like, oh my God.
And then her friends are watching. Of course she's not going to...
Like, friends are watching!
Like, of course she's not gonna take him back. She kissed him when nobody was watching, she thought.
Yeah.
Like, she's that embarrassed of him.
She's like, everybody out of the room. Yeah. This isn't happening until everybody's out.
Until everyone's out of the room. He's that guy.
How does she change her mind? He basically begs her.
They have a great time or something.
But he says, I'm not gonna beg you.
Oh, I'm not gonna beg you. Yeah, when they're standing at the door.
He says, Stan Spornak.
He comes back, he's one more chance. Oh, he shows up because he's about to go that night, and he's wearing a tuxedo and doesn't know how to tie his tie.
He doesn't know his tie. Even though
I love, she's like, come back in an hour. It's gonna take me a little while to get ready.
To shave my
to take all these
to
slips
shave
off.
My butt.
And shave my butt.
To shave my boobs and my butt.
I was thinking it's gonna take me like half an hour to get out of these shoulder pads and get my fresh evening
to
shoulder
put
pads
on.
My
Frodo outfit.
Frodo gown.
Man, when you see the gown, so she agrees, she finally while she's tying his tie, he says, I forget how he convinces her. Oh, he reminds her of their old times when it was good or whatever.
They were not
but
bad.
She's that I love that line too. He was like, there were so many good times. She's like, yeah, there were until I found out about
them. Same writer that wrote that line about
dead
her dead
husband
line.
Her dead husband. Yeah. I'm like, where are you? Biggest fan right here. Love that.
Susan Harris, thank God.
Is
she's
that
in
was?
The writer's
she
room.
She was the head writer?
Susan Harris is like the creator, so she must have been there. And then, weirdly enough, I was confused why he needed a bow tie thing helped. Tie
a tuxedo tie.
Yeah,
because earlier he was wearing a bow tie.
Oh, you caught that.
Yeah,
but was he wearing a bow tie?
Wasn't he?
No,
a bow tie.
I mean, it's like he can also buy a clip on.
Oh, he could have been wearing a clip on.
No, I mean,
he's
but
he's
it
a
is
clip
part
on
of him
guy.
Becoming a changed man.
It's
he's
also,
like, I'm gonna wear
he's
a real,
gonna
bow
real bow tie.
I'm not a clip on man anymore.
Yeah. I was watching to see if she knew how to tie a tie. She had no idea,
she
but
did
she
it.
Did a great job. I learned pretending. A lot about acting watching that scene because she wasn't doing much. She was just kind of like adjusting the tie here and
I
there.
I didn't catch that.
But
see, we both caught something different.
But it was her eye line that was made it convincing. Because she
watching
was
watching her stone cold bitch face. I was not watching her hands.
Yeah,
were
I didn't see that.
Well, they cut from where you can't see her hands to seeing her hands, and when you see her hands tying it, she's just kind of tugging on it here and there, and not really. You can clearly tell she has no idea how to tie a tie. But you're paying attention to what he's saying, right?
Yeah.
So then when it shows her close up or whatever, and you can't see his tie. Her eyeline is at the tie. She never looks at him because she's like, as an actress, she knows if you're tying a tie, you're looking at your
that's
hands,
you're
not looking
do.
At the person talking to you. So that I thought that was very interesting.
I would love
such a professional.
Such a professional.
I just adore her acting, and I'm like,
she's incredible.
One day hope to just be a.
You hope to be
her.
Arthur.
I hope to be Arthur.
Is it Bay Arthur or B?
It's
B.
B.
Oh,
B.
Wow,
Arthur.
The B. That's the second time that's come up in the last
people,
week.
No,
people think
as a kid,
Bay.
I used to say Bay.
Yeah.
And then
you were so ahead of your time.
Yeah.
What am I wrong, right? It's B.
My queen, Bay Arthur.
Hashtag Bay Arthur.
Hashtag Bay.
Yeah, Bay Arthur is my Beyonce, by the way.
Oh.
So then she ties the tie. He convinces her. She goes on a date with him.
Yeah.
She's going to accompany him to the Japanese businessman dinner. Yeah.
She's going to sit down with all of the Japanese
men. We don't see the dinner.
We don't, which was sad.
We see him come home.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, because they would have done a lot of like ching-chong jokes. And then they did do a short Asian joke, though. He was like, I felt so tall. And she was like, they were all bowing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and then the don't walk on their backs. Was that a joke?
I know. I was like, I don't really
get
that.
That was a massage joke that was very... It was in his letter to Dorothy about how to act at the
thing. He was like, don't walk on their backs even if they beg you.
It was like a Japanese businessman.
Because that's what Japanese businessmen do.
It was like a pervert thing. A
pervert thing? Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, that kind of goes to like the young girls' underwear and vending machines.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know about that.
So can I feel we like get that to... probably went over a few heads back in 1990.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm dying to get to Dorothy's outfit when she gets back from this.
Oh, we can talk about that. Yeah. Did we skip something, though? I feel
The war bond situation.
The war bond situation. Okay, so we go to the lanai, and that's when she has that... That's when they discuss the pros and cons list. Remember that part? And they...
Of selling war bonds versus...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they're trying to say... Like, Dorothy's like, oh, like, you can't ruin this town. And then Rose is like, I have a frog buried there. That was that part.
That was my second favorite joke in the whole thing.
So good. And so it's so incredible how she makes such a big ring and be so petite.
She goes, it's unbelievable that I'm so petite, but I could carry such a large stone.
I know, yes. Oh, I love that.
And she comes in with like just a handful of like diamonds.
She's like, look how they catch the light.
But she's such a bitch, like... So, like just showing off how she's gonna ruin the town, like in front of all her like roommates. I love it.
She gives no fucks.
But then Dorothy convinces her with a speech about family not to sell the war bonds.
Yeah,
Blanche agrees because deep down they're all good people. They're not actually monsters. Right. Not like today, like It's Always Sunny, where they would actually like go for it. You know? It's not,
Frank isn't there.
Yeah.
Sweet D's not there.
So Blanche does the right thing.
She does the right
thing. She rips up the war bonds and
oh yeah, she rips up the war bonds, and then Rose reveals like
she's like, they're gonna make a statue for you.
Yeah. Incredible.
And like, she's like, Blanche is then like, how are they going to pay for this statue? And Dorothy says, the $500,000 emergency... Rose. Yeah, sorry, Rose. The $500,000 emergency statue fund.
Oh, my God.
And Dorothy says, wait, if $50,000 is going to make or break this town, how do they have a $500,000 emergency statue fund? And she's like...
Rose is like, loop! Wow, a loophole.
You don't call it Big Statue Country for no reason.
The St. Olaf license plate doesn't say Big Statue Country for no reason.
So good.
But so they
so then Dorothy's like, I gave you some bad advice. And that's when she goes and answers.
So it turns out Blanche could have had the money and it would have been no big deal.
Yeah, she could have.
Blanche
like,
should have just gotten the ring.
But the town may have gone corrupt. Like a corrupt.
Bankrupt.
Bankrupt. I can't talk. They would have gone bankrupt because they wouldn't have the idea to take the money out of the statue fund.
Right. Because everyone in that town kind of thinks like Rose, I guess.
They're like, the town just goes under and. Or they just build statues and stuff, and that's it. And they just
I forget. So does Blanche get the money?
So Blanche doesn't get the money because she rips up
up the bonds.
So there's they weren't like, oh, we taped them back together or anything. She just doesn't get the money.
I think they were going to call them or something.
Yeah.
Like they said something that they were going to try and talk to
them. She kind of taped them. Like she didn't throw them away, but... Yeah,
I think the show's like, whatever. If she gets 50 grand, she gets 50 grand. Like, they don't need to, like... That's back when sitcoms would reset, so it didn't matter.
I think... Well, the statue is I think, enough. Isn't it enough for a person like Blanche?
Should every city have a statue of Blanche?
Yeah. I mean,
no. Why wait for her to do something good? Like, just make a statue of Blanche.
Oh, Rue McClanahan's statue.
Oh, God, I'd die.
Phoenix would be amazing. I would be there all day.
I would love a statue of her while she's in the backyard looking at her hand with all the rings on.
Yes, that would be the best statue of her. So they come back from the Japanese date, and it went pretty good. She's wearing her Frodo outfit. We also called
this outfit. Yes. Let me just describe it in detail. It's so a floor length. I want to say
velvet.
Definitely velvet.
Black velvet
robe.
I guess it's a robe.
It was like a robe.
Yeah.
The lapels were very wide. The robe itself is black.
The lapels were purple. Burgundy,
maroon, purple.
And there were gold.
They were lined in gold.
They were lined. The lapel was lined in gold.
Yeah.
And then underneath it was like a black slip or something.
A black slip. Her figure was like completely hidden.
Underneath, I definitely took note of this because I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. Yeah. It was like a cheetah print.
Was it?
Yes.
I missed that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because most of the shots were from up here.
Yeah. And I think Meg had the best line when she said that she looked like she was giving a commencement speech at Hogwarts.
Yes. So good.
Yes.
So good.
Because I love all the clothes on that show, but that one, I was like, oh, no. I know. What? But now we know Dorothy doesn't know how to dress for a formal
Dorothy
affair.
Dorothy has the most hit or miss. Hit or miss. I mean, hits or misses. Because she has hits, then she has a lot of
she
misses.
Had, she had short term. Basically, she just kind of decided to do it at the last minute.
Yeah, that's maybe true.
Like, I know. She only had an hour to pull that thing together, guys.
Well, maybe it was on purpose. She's like, I'm going to go embarrass him. And I'm going to put on this
I'm going to dress like a sorceress.
Or maybe she was like, cover. This is what Japanese dignitaries love. They love another robe.
Like, look at that tall woman wearing all velvet.
I want to ask her to walk on my back.
Yeah. She's a witch. That's my Japanese name.
Yes. That's great.
And so, in this, well,
they have a nice moment, but it went well.
When they go home, when they get home, Blanche is still trying to explain to Rose how money works, and she has a little piggy bank.
Figurines out,
a piggy bank with money in it, and then like a visual reference of like a town,
like a town hall, like a little statue.
Yeah, and she's like, "Here you go." She's like, "She's like,
you take $50,000 out of the statue fund, and put it into saving the town."
Yeah,
and she's that's like, when Rose goes, "Ooh, a loophole."
Yeah, she does.
But
what
does Rose say? She's like, oh, we should call the town right now, but it's Hide the Corn Day?
Yeah, she goes, Hide the Corn Day. I don't know if we'll reach anybody because it's everybody Hide the Corn Day.
Wow, that's kind of sexual.
I know.
Isn't it?
I mean,
oh, it didn't even occur to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everyone's hiding the
corn.
Yeah. It's everybody's hiding the corn.
Everybody's Zaborny hiding.
Is Borning. Everyone's zaboning. Zaboning.
Zaboning.
Zaboning.
I've got to say, this scene was my favorite look of Blanche's.
What was she wearing?
She had on like this tropical like robe, silk caftan.
Oh, the very
thing.
Colorful one.
Yeah, like banana leaves and like.
That was a good one.
It was beautiful. And Rose had on like a really sensible but still silk, like still a little bit naughty, like a nighty.
A little bit naughty. they get inside, Stan and Dorothy, and they had a great time, and then they pretty much
Dorothy charmed the Japs.
We're just going straight racist. Golden Girls started it. And so they end up kissing.
Stan kisses her on the cheek first.
Her on the cheek.
He says, thank you.
Well, that's right. He goes in for the real thing.
He goes back in.
I was not happy with that.
I know.
Stan. Just because there's money.
As good she didn't do it for the money. She kissed him because he was being sweet.
She was like, he's a man now.
He's a man now.
He's like, you know.
But this wouldn't have happened
But B. Arthur,
if it wasn't for
Bea Arthur, the actress, couldn't summon up not she being such like, a lesbian.
She was like, you're still a man.
Yeah, she like stood there like...
Tight-lipped.
Tight-lipped, yeah.
Do you see what I'm wearing?
I know.
Hey, credit to the actor who plays Stan for going in there and acting like that kiss worked out. Because it did not work out.
Yeah.
He's like, it's all on me to make this magic happen because she is not feeling it.
Yeah.
And but for the scene and for the show, it was the idea was that it did work, that the kiss was that Dorothy loved it.
And
you know, the face she made afterwards, I was like,
she fixed
nice.
It afterwards.
I mean, I was like, nice try, girl. You did, you did not enjoy that.
And TJ, nice try, girl.
Not feeling that.
To be fair to Bea Arthur, even if she was a straight woman, kissing that dude and looking like you enjoyed it would have been difficult.
I know, that's the stretch.
Not attractive.
That's maybe like some Emmy winning.
Stand-in lesbian that looks like Stan when they kiss. And then
like male pattern baldness.
Yeah, male pattern. They put like a bald cap on a woman and... they have her kiss Bea Arthur. That would be weird for the audience. Okay. Did you guys go to that taping? He leaves. Usually when they kiss, Stan says something terrible.
And then, they've kissed before.
Yeah, so they'll kiss every now and then. Mm-hmm. And then Stan says something terrible. And then Dorothy's like, well, fucking get out. And then the show ends. But this time it didn't. And it was so weird. I was like...
Yeah, she walked away like, oh, that was kind of nice. And then Sophie saw the whole thing.
Yeah.
And she's like, do not do this to me. And she goes...
She goes, don't put me in an early grave.
Too late.
It's too late, Mom.
And she shoots her in the stomach with a gun.
Stop her. My mom will shoot.
Yeah, stop.
That was Estelle Getty.
Stop her. I'm going to shoot my mom.
Stop. But anyway, it was... I got to say, for someone who hasn't seen a Golden Girls episode in a long time, I still... It exceeded my expectations, even though I already knew this show.
Gave you the itch to watch some more, right?
I want to watch more. Right. I want to know everything. I want to know who wrote on it. I want to know everything.
We've opened up your world.
We've cracked your skull.
Yeah, and now I have a new title for my show, Diamond Dads.
Diamond Dads. That's great. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, that was great.
Yay. All right, so this is going to come out, I think, the second week of March.
Oh, we should mention that we watched this instead of the Super Bowl.
That's right. Yeah. The Super Bowl.
The Super
started, are we still recording?
Yeah. The Super Bowl started an hour ago, so you could still watch it.
I've completely given up my alpha male card today by doing a Golden Girls podcast instead of watching the Super Bowl.
This is our Super Bowl.
Yeah. So this comes out on March 8th. And is there anything that you'd like to promote, or where can people find you online?
I'll be at my podcast is Julian Loves Music. It's a ripoff of Doug Loves Movies, and
that's great.
I'm doing
honesty.
It.
Honesty.
Yeah. Well, if I don't say that, people think that I'm ripping it off and don't know. Like he's not in on it. And I'll be at the Cherokee Casino in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is an awesome place.
Oh,
that casino.
My hometown.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
My home state. And
my first confirmed guest is Karen Kilgariff, who is the host of My Favorite Murder and also wrote on Baskets and, you know.
I love her. She's so good.
She's she's great.
Yay.
And I guarantee you she loves the Golden Girls, but we have not spoken about it.
Oh, maybe she'll be on the podcast if she wants.
Yeah. If she comes to Phoenix, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in LA.
Oh, you're going to be in... Oh, right, you're in LA.
Yeah. So she can do it in LA if she likes.
Okay.
If she likes.
We'll put this out on the podcast.
We'll put this out. Yeah, we're inviting you right now, Karen Kilgariff, to be on the Golden Girls podcast. And Meg, is there...
Meg has nothing.
Nothing?
No. But if you live in the New York City area,
you can get a haircut from Meg. Meg.
Meg is the most amazing colorist and stylist in Brooklyn.
And an artist.
She works at Deluxe Salon, and you should call and ask for her unless you're a dude, in which case, stay the fuck away.
Oh my God.
We have listeners. Yeah. Go to Deluxe Salon and visit Meg and go to Williamsburg and freaking get an amazing haircut.
How great would you feel if somebody walked in the Deluxe one day and they were like, I heard you on the Golden Girls podcast.
If they were like, give me the roux, I'd be like,
give me the bird.
I'd die. I'd be like, I'm retiring right now. It's never going to get any better than this.
And Genevieve, where will you be after March 8th? And where can people find you?
All right. Well, that'll be close to the Bird City Comedy Festival, which I put together in downtown Phoenix, April 6th through 9th. So that's very exciting.
That's awesome.
And you can find out more about that at birdcitycomedyfestival.com.
Yay.
Or at Bird City Comedy on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Or you can find me. I'm at Genevieve Rice on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And yeah, that's it.
Yay. So find out.
So nice to hear about the festival this way and not by getting booked on it. It's fine. We'll talk about it after. No, it's fine.
I just wanted to hear about on the car ride home.
This is the festival.
What about you, Anthony?
What about
how can
you?
People reach you?
Ooh, no one's ever asked me that question.
Oh my god.
Okay. I'm at Anthony DeSimito on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me after March 8th. I'll be at I have a show at the Hollywood Improv called Ya Feel on March 26th.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a show where comedians spin a wheel of emotions and perform their sets using that emotion.
Oh, wow.
And
that sounds fun.
It's out of control. I love it.
So fun to hear about it this way.
Yeah.
So
I know, I'm like, it. I kind of want to rebook my trip to LA because nothing's happening the first week of March. I want to be there for you.
Hey. Aw, Jillian, you can be on it if you want.
No, it's fine. I'll do the next one. No, I'll do it, but I assume it's already booked. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Let's talk about this. Right. Nobody listening at home wants to hear this.
Okay.
It's not Golden Girls related.
It's not Golden Girls related. And along with our own individual Twitters, the podcast also has a Twitter. And it's at Thank You For Being A Podcast, but as an acronym, at TYFBAP, at TIFFAP, on Twitter and Instagram.
That is a mouthful.
I know.
I just want to say that when I looked at your Twitter and saw that you did this podcast, I told Meg, and the look on her face, because she already loves you, so when she found out you did a Golden Girls podcast, she almost...
I love her.
Yeah, I think she...
I'm like, you're going to have to follow a restraining order, honey. I already was like... And then I found out about this podcast and I almost
died. It's the
deal.
It's the only deal.
And the next day you're on it.
Yeah. And here I am.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank
yeah,
you.
This is
this
great.
Was really fun.
Thank you.
Let's go watch the rest of the series.
Let's go do it.
Fight the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Nice. For the listener who is following along, you can. The next episode is going to be season 6, episode 4. And I forget the name, so I'll just make one up. It's called Butt Stuff. Butt Stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's my go-to one, isn't it? And thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a beautiful day and or night. Yay!
Yay!
Bye!
Gonna stuff a chicken. Gonna stuff a chicken. Like my mama taught me. Like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken down to Mississippi.